Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. Let me tell you, I can't believe how excited I am. The boys are back in town. They are in the studio. The crazy train has pulled in and it is staying.
The train's crashed. The train crashed in mid-December.
The train is staying for the next 90 minutes. The first hour on Love Sport. Then you have to switch over to Love Sport London and catch the last 30 minutes where we'll be giving you that Liverpool preview. But you can still get in touch at any time during the show. Simple, easy. Tweet at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Where we're going to be looking at those festive fixtures and has Spurs got on, and obviously the news today, Harry Kane injury keeping him out obviously till April. Really bad news for Spurs, but I heard Jason outside and he didn't say it was that bad. We're going to get onto that in just a little bit, and we're going to be talking about the Tottenham Hotspur board and obviously the game with Liverpool and that festive form. Of course, well, it's not just Kane, it is obviously Sissoko, who has also been ruled out after having knee surgery. What is going on at the minute? I welcome you all back. Happy New Year, Ricky. Well, where are we at?
I don't know where we're at, Chess. It's been a long couple of weeks without you, mate. It's been a long couple
Too
of weeks
long.
Without you. Too long without you. 4 points out of four over the festive period. Losing Harry Kane, losing Sissoko. This crazy train. I don't know where those wheels are to that train. I think they're just hanging on the track, just.
This is why it is the crazy train.
I know, like, but I don't know if I like the crazy train. I think obviously a lot's happened over the last even couple of hours. Losing Kane till April as a minimum now. And obviously, Twitter's quite a toxic place at the moment with the transfer window being open and nothing done as of yet. And I think many people have asked us on the show, can we speak about the board? Can we maybe give more analysis as to what is happening with the club in terms of investment or lack of and where the club's direction is? And we'll try and get that in the next hour and a half or so. But I think, yeah, we want to see some action during this transfer window. The club looks to try and strengthen the squad. Mourinho's got a big job on his hands, hasn't he? He's got a massive, massive job on his hands. And we've got a big game this weekend, of course. And it's not going to be an easy game against Liverpool. So a lot to discuss in this next hour and a half. And I've got these wonderful chaps and you to guide us through it.
Yeah, there's absolutely lots to get through. You look at that festive form, and we're going to obviously be talking about the board. Obviously, lost to Chelsea, beat Brighton, drew with Norwich, lost to Saints, and obviously drawing with Borough on the weekend. That was the cup. But Lee, not the ideal Christmas form, not the ideal Christmas spirit either. What have you made of it?
Well, it's been tough. I mean, the crazy train is grinding to a halt, isn't it? You know,
we only just started. We only just set off.
I know, but that is why it is the crazy train, because there'll be
ups
and downs.
Can't believe
it.
He's ready to get on
again,
Jason. He's never been on the train.
He's on it now.
I'm worried.
I think that's the problem. No, I think the festive
period. We need
period
to upgrade Jason to first class, because he looks like he's completely not on board with this. You know, he thought it was the Hogwarts Express. He needs a spell or two. He can't believe it, the man. Look
I
at him.
Albie must have rode this crazy train. It feels like a toy set.
I think the Christmas fixtures, the festive period, it was very disappointing. You know, it is what it is, but it was disappointing. I mean, notoriously over the last 5 years, we've had a good festive period. You know, taking lots of points. Everybody knows how many points that there is over that period. It started off woefully against Chelsea and didn't get much better, to be honest. I was at the Brighton game and we struggled. Against Norwich again, you know, struggled, and you know, and again against Southampton as well. So you know, it was a tough set of fixtures, and then you come out into the cup and you Middlesbrough, and you just think, you know, wow, it's another disappointing result. And you know, it's that sluggish start to matches that we've made. Not once or twice, but in every single one of them, we've just come out as like, we're running like the whole team's running like Vincent Janssen was. You know, it's kind of like he's got concrete boots on and they look slow.
I'd take it.
And it's, he's a winner now. He's got a cut. He just won a cup, didn't he? So he's a winner now. But look, the reality.
Vincent and Curtis, Jason, yeah?
Curtis O'Bain, anyway.
He'd be loving it, mate.
I'd take the whole team from there.
He'd need Vincent back now, for sure. But look, I mean, I think for, so it has been a tough period. And I think that if it hasn't done anything else, it's shown Jose Mourinho and ultimately the ball, who we'll come on to talk about in a bit, that there's a lot, like Ricky just said, and what you said in the week, is a lot of work to do here. And we need to start working on it ASAP.
Yeah, need to start working. Obviously, I don't want to talk too much about previous regimes, but we heard of it, didn't we, before, you know, Pochettino and obviously our very own Jamie saying there is a rebuild here, Tottenham 2.0, showing maybe how much work there is to be done. Well, a big theme of this show is that you can call in. We've missed having the Spurs fan show on Love Spot Radio, and we've missed you calling in. That's exactly what you've done tonight. I'm delighted to say Matt now, calling from Brighton. And Matt, if I'm led to believe this correctly, you want to let a little frustration out?
Yeah, it's... hi, guys. Happy New Year,
Matt. Hello, Matt. Happy New Year to you.
And I finally get to talk to Lee McQueen.
Oh, God. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
You're definitely on a crazy train.
Let it rip, Matt. What you got for us?
Where do we start, guys? It's just, it's awful. It really is at the moment, isn't it? I just don't know where it's going to get any better. You know, obviously, we've had the terrible news about Harry Kane, April. You know, I don't think we're going to get a striker in. I've got to be honest. I'm not holding out. I think one player maybe we'll get, but even that, I know Daniel Levy. Well, we all know Daniel Levy well enough. You know, I just think all that money's gone into the stadium, and I just don't think there is any money that he wants to, you know, part with. I just think that's the case. But there's just no passion. There's no desire. Like, what has happened to this team? You're getting paid like 80,000 a week. I don't understand why you don't have passion.
Well, Matt,
I get paid.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think's happened to the team, Matt? I mean, you know, you're a fan like us, like all the other listeners as well. Honestly, what do you think's happened to this team?
I think they've lost motivation. They didn't win anything. That obviously doesn't help. I think sometimes you just kind of got to sum some of these players up and say they are not good enough. They weren't good enough under Pochettino, and when we played well to win a trophy. I know Jose is an amazing manager, and I believe we can win stuff with him. But I think under this regime, I just don't think they have the get up and go anymore. You know, against Middlesbrough, I know normally we start the first half slow, but the second half wasn't much better.
But it's not acceptable, is it, Matt? It's not acceptable to start off any match, especially against a Championship side, slow. You know, this is why I nicknamed us the Crazy Train. And, you know, you've got to start like a train. It's not a crazy one, but you want to start fast. And, you know, I don't want to talk about being aggressive or whatever, but being people's faces and, you know, make it difficult for the team that you're playing against, thinking, oh, we're in a game here. You know, in the first 5-10 minutes, make them know that they're in a game. Not like old school, like beating
no
them up.
No urgency.
Yeah, but it's exactly that. It's that urgency, it's that speed, it's that energy. And that's the thing that we've just seems to have dripped away. And that's why you make a good point, Matt, when you say about, you know, no motivation, because you have to be motivated to be able to do that, didn't you, Rick?
You do. I mean, Matt, listen, as we've got you here, thanks for calling into the show. I mean, the main topic of debate, which we're going to have a chat on, is going to be about the ball. Now, just to kind of refresh those about Enoch's tenure at Spurs, between 2001 to 2008, they were rebuilding the club financially and structurally. Between 2008 to 2012, they're refinancing for the new training ground. And then between 2008 to 2019, we obviously had the financing for the new stadium. All those projects are now finished. All that is now in place. Surely, if there's going to be a time to spend, it is now, isn't it, Matt? And there's really no excuse if the club don't spend. Because you look at the fact that we've sacked one of our most popular managers in God knows how many years in Maurizio Pochettino. We've brought in a man that is known to be a serial winner, known to win trophies. And you feel that if you're going to bring him in and spend the amount of money that we are giving him, weekly, monthly, however you want to break it down, I think he's the second highest paid manager in the Premier League, and even around the world he's one of the highest. Surely he's going to want backing, and I can't believe Tottenham would be this stupid to not give him the backing needed to do the rebuild that Pochettino outlined for a long time that Spurs needed.
Yeah, I mean I think he's Mourinho signed. I think Levy's probably told him it's not going to happen in January. I just think he's probably said, look, we're going to rebuild possibly in the summer with you. But he's not going to get, you know, we know what Daniel Levy's like. He never, I know he got Tungi and Ndombele, and we did quite well this transfer window, but not enough in my eyes. I mean, I agree with Lee. Like, I think it was last week or on the pod, he was talking about the playing staff, and I think you have got to look at scouts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, who in the hell scouted Serge Aurier? Because he is woeful. I know Sunday league defenders that can defend better than that.
I know, it is frustrating, isn't it? I mean, when you look at the scouting system at Tottenham and you look at, you know, you've
Liverpool's.
Got, I think, you, well, let's not do comparisons because I don't know much about the other clubs, but you've got Steve Hitchin, you know, you've got John McDermott, you've got Jose Mourinho, obviously, you know, Daniel, they're all involved in the transfers. And then you've got, yeah. I think Steve Hitchin is the top scout, no? Or the chief scout. And you know, like you say, I'm putting Serge Aurier out his door because, you know, what's the deal here? But there was, we had a fantastic guy in our club beforehand that was deemed to be unsuccessful when we brought in all of the players before, like the Eric Dyers and the Toby Alderweireld and whatever.
For Paul Mitchell,
yeah. And actually, we let him go. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, and please do if I am, but I think he went to a German club.
Leipzig.
Which was Leipzig. Yeah. And look at what they're doing now. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, very interesting. Matt, we really appreciate you calling into the studio. Hopefully, we'll get to hear from you a lot more on future shows. Matt from Brighton Edge.
Cheers, Matt.
Letting out a little bit of frustration. Let's bring Jason in there because haven't had much to speak to you so far, Jason. Obviously, the form not where anyone wanted over this Christmas period. And I know Harry Kane, obviously, we're hearing today out to April. What are you making of the form? And obviously, the news now that he will be, we won't see him till then.
I just can't believe that a year ago we'd have been doing this show on the back of keeping a clean sheet at Cardiff and going to Tranmere with our backup striker getting a hat-trick and Serge Aurier pinging one in the top corner, scoring six. In a year, my God, has it towered off. I think the injuries we've got, for me, are absolutely perfect injuries because if we've talked constantly about the need to buy strikers or a backup striker, now we need to go and buy a frontline striker. And we've been pleading with that to happen. Now, there's no excuse of a stadium. There's no excuse of a training ground. There's no excuse about, well, who wants to come as a backup to Harry? He won't play games. He'll be on the bench. You've got to do it now. Absolutely got to. If there was ever a time for Harry Kane to miss 4 months of a season, for me, it's now. Because, you know, we'd muddle through with Kane. And if he got injured on the 12th of February, we're completely stuffed then for the rest of the season. So if it's going to happen, I think now's the perfect time.
There's
no excuses left for that board. Sissoko's injured. I wish we had 15 players injured. I really do. I wish Toby got injured. I wish Aurier got injured. I wish Dyer was injured. I wish Lamella was injured. I wish Eriksen was injured. I wish Ali was injured.
You wish Rose was fit.
I wish Rose was fit. And could be captain, and then the penny would finally drop. Oh my God. And I look at that Leipzig game coming up, and you think for a European Cup knockout game, there'll be no Kane, there'll be no Sissoko, Hugo probably not back by then. We will struggle to take 18 players for a Champions League game.
Which is crazy when people are saying
Lamella will be unfit by then.
Our squad's bloated. Tongi
will be on his 15th donut by then. I mean, you know, when are we going to? And we'll go to a Champions League game with about five academy kids on the bench. It's crazy, and people want to get rid of the homegrown. I mean, you know, as we said, the thing with Kane, that's a homegrown player that you have to have four of for European. Mm. So if we go and buy a striker like, who is it? Piacek, Dzeko, you said Diego. It doesn't really matter which one.
Costa.
Then somebody in that squad in Europe has got to go to get rid. So Wanyama, who has been of no use to us for 2 years, what is the excuse to keep hold of him? So get rid now.
But I think the club in Venice had tried to move Wanyama on. He just didn't want to go.
But other teams,
Rick. I mean,
Defending him. I'm just saying they tried to move Wanyama on.
Get rid of him. Pay his contract.
And you know my frustration. I'm the one every winter coming around saying we need to strengthen.
Rebels, mate.
The fact of the matter is, the reason why Spurs are in this position is because they didn't refresh the squad for 18 months. That is why Spurs are in this predicament now. That's why they sacked the manager. All because they did not refresh the squad that they should have done at least 2 years ago. You look at the best managers in the world, even Klopp, even Ferguson, and even why Guardiola is struggling now at Man City is because in the summer, they deemed that their squad was good enough to go again. But you must always look to improve your squad, no matter who you are, no matter what league you're winning, no matter if you're in a Champions League final, you should always look to improve your squad. And because they didn't, that's why they've gone as many points on Liverpool. And that's why Spurs are always not going to be near the top fighting for the Premier League until they refresh their squad.
Yeah, let me tell you, last word on Spurs, have come back firing. Ricky Sachs and the team giving you the strong opinions, but let me tell you, they are right, and you can join us next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with Last Word on Spurs. Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. You're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we're asking you to give your tweets into us and your calls and WhatsApps this evening. That's exactly what you're doing. 028 7020 558. We're going to be looking at that game with Liverpool later. We're talking about the injuries, talking about that form, but we really want to talk about the Tottenham Hotspur board at the minute and the work they're doing. That obviously now they are a little bit more free with the finances, but we have had a tweet in, this one from Kev Green. It says, fellas, I think the crazy train has turned into the ghost train. What do you make of that, Lee? Where's the sound effects when we need it?
I know, I'll provide them that way. Yeah, it is a bit of a ghost train at the moment. But look, the whole point of the crazy train comment is that we are going to have ups and downs, and that's going to be the reality. You know, that we have... Look, I'm not sitting here saying that I disagree with everyone. I'm not sitting here saying that we don't need to make any signings. I'm not sitting here now. I'm agreeing with the state of affairs at Tottenham. However... Well, you know, when you look at it, and our amazing debutant on the pod last week, Hugo was fantastic.
Yeah, so it was great.
And he kind of said this. And look, the reality of the situation is we're still in well in the hunt for the top four. We're still in the FA Cup, and we're still in the last 16 in the Champions League. Now, it's only, and I say only because I'm putting a positive spin, it's only January the 9th. It's only been 8 days of the transfer window open. And who says that we might not sign two or three players? Don't know yet. You know, if we're sitting here February the 1st and we're in the same situation, then great, let's have a go at everyone. But we all know, as Spurs fans, and all the listeners know this as well, that historically it's been the same, and that's what we're gauging right now. But as Jason said, and I completely agree, this is a perfect time for us to go and make a statement. The last statement that we made when we really needed to try to push on for the top four, we ended up signing Ryan Nielsen and Louis Saha.
That was going for the title, actually. That was going for the title.
Right back. So don't, Daniel Levy, we can't be making them same mistakes again. Also, from a point of view of, you know, like I suppose a business head on, you can't go and spend over the odds. Just everyone now knows that every striker that we're going to be linked with is going to have another 20, 30, 40% put on their price tag, because we know that we're desperate for Harry Kane's replacement. So it's a very difficult situation. However, we've got to make something happen here for sure.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Go on, Jay. Sorry.
That's actually why I'm surprised they've given details out of Kane's injury. I thought they'd
keep that a bit quiet. Yeah,
knew,
that's a shout. Yeah.
We knew
through
our group a couple of days ago what the actual prognosis on Kane was. Mm-hmm. Jamie had a good bit of insight there, and we all thought it would be kept incredibly quiet, and then Tottenham will try and do a deal.
It's very hard, though, just to keep that quiet with the way social media is now, isn't it? It's very hard to keep it quiet.
There's no need for the club to have made a statement, is there, today? I mean, how much...
But if everyone else is reporting on it, they get one message, Sky go, look, we know he's out to April, and Tottenham go, well, now we have to...
And Spurs are so criticised anyway of always never being accurate with their injury times. I think the club probably were forced in some degree to put that statement out, but I think what...
Well, for me, I don't think the club should ever give a date for them. Why do we need to know when they're back? I don't... Your doctor don't tell the world what your bloody medical record is, does he? So why should anyone... You know, why do we need to know that player X is not available for 8 weeks?
Because they need to keep fans on side. If we didn't know when Harry Kane... Well, can you imagine that every... Yeah. Well, when's he back? We've not had one word on, you know...
It's
the face of the franchise.
It doesn't bring him back any quicker, does it?
And no, but it does, I think it does give some bit of clarity.
All it does is increases the frustration when that date comes and the player's not ready. So, for me,
But do you not think even more so now, with the way the club in the past have been inaccurate with giving out a date? Surely now they are very careful in terms of when they do communicate the date in which they are selecting the player.
Don't give a date.
Well, listen, I think Chaz says there they have to do that to keep fans on side. But my biggest concern with the Kane situation, and with Mourinho in particular, is that I think Lee addressed this before we came into the studio, is Mourinho's reference to the use of Kane being a target man. In the years of Pochettino being here, there was always a calming sense that we would cope without Kane. We have got Heung-min Son, we have got Lucas Moura, we have got Dele Alli that can score goals. But with Mourinho, it does seem like a lot of how he wants to play football is targeted around Harry Kane. And that's why I do feel that Spurs will look to try, and go and get an alternative striker to Harry Kane. Whether that person's as good enough or is adequate to Harry Kane, it's very difficult to say.
Will Jose do a bit of, you know, a left field or whatever and kind of go in with the whole, you know, Dele Alli up front? Do you know what I mean?
Like playing Lo Celso in the same... I don't see how that's going to last the season.
No, I'm not saying it is.
Do you think, though, Lee, honestly, do you think it could last the season? If you look at us now, we're still off the top four.
But what he can't do, in my opinion, and the board, right, if they do back him and they do give him money, what they can't do, Spurs as a club, is they cannot go out and buy someone who is unproven in the Premier League. That would be a key criteria for me.
Totally agree,
so
yeah.
You can't go in and then get somebody to bed in for the next 18 months, like an Ndombele situation, because, you know, quite frankly, we ain't got 18 months, we've got 18 days. So this guy coming into the football club, if it is a straight, you know, a full-on number nine replacement, he needs to hit the ground running straight away. So that has to be somebody like a Diego Costa who's played there in the past, or a Dzeko from maybe he's a bit past it, or maybe a Danny Ings, would they ever sell him, or you know, maybe a Callum Wilson, will they ever sell? You know, I don't know whether they'll ever sell these players or not, and I'm just throwing names in the air, but they are proven players in the Premier League that can score goals. And actually, like, going to somebody else that can't, and I made this point about Leicester on the pod last week, like in Didi, there is players out there that are brilliant as soon as they come in and they don't need embedding in, but a goal, this is where the big money's paid, isn't
it, James?
This
is
what you pay the money for, Rick. This is the hardest thing to do, is put the ball in the back of the net. So you need somebody who is a proven goal scorer to be able to come in. We're talking about Harry Kane here, listeners. This is the best strike number nine, in my opinion, in the world. You know, why, I tell you, he's a proven goal scorer right now who don't really want to sign a new contract, who's a bit bored, he lives in London, and he's not playing Champions League football. Aubameyang, let's go sign him. What's the problem with that? Let's go sign Patrick Uber. Let's go get him. Well, why not?
Strong words there from Lee McQueen. Go and sign him. He's saying he's not playing European football. He can come in straight away and do a job. What do you think? Well, you are calling into the studio. This time, Dean from Eastbourne is called. A theme of our show tonight is the board. Dean, I believe you want to talk a little bit about the chairman, saying you don't know if he's actually taking Spurs forward.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be as blunt as saying he's not taking us forward, because I appreciate how far he's actually brought the club on. But I do think we get to these stages where I feel like, you know, we need this investment to push ourselves on. And is he the one that's always holding us back from moving on? I look at Liverpool and I think, you know, when they needed the players, they needed a goalkeeper, they needed a centre-back, they went and got them. But Daniel Levy seems to always hesitate, or he's always trying to get the best price for a player. Mm. And I just wonder, you know, are we ever going to become this big club that signs these players that move us to the next level?
Dean, we know Harry Kane, in terms of, we've discussed it at length in the last half an hour, but that's a position for Spurs that we want to try and obviously address in this window. But apart from that, where else do you think the key areas are that Spurs needs to strengthen? You look at our back line and it seems that needs a lot of work as well. Can that start already being put to work in January, or do you think the club will end up looking at it in the summer? What do you think?
I think at centre half, I think it will probably be looked at in the summer. But I feel like a right back, I feel like, is definitely a necessity, and a central defensive midfielder to help the defence out. I feel like we could get those two positions in this window, and you know, if they can see where a striker to maybe play sort of second fiddle to Harry Kane, but also maybe play alongside him when he's fit, then that would be even better.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. Dean, we really appreciate you calling into the studio as well. Always good to hear
Dean.
The Spurs fans and what they're thinking. Dean from Eastbourne there. We have had another tweet into the studio, Lee, and this one really for you. You're mentioning your strikers. This is from Matt Gibbons. I don't know if it's genuine or not, but it says, what about Giroud, Lee?
I think he'd be perfect for a Jose Mourinho type manager,
yeah,
for sure. Like, Jose would, you know, he's a World Cup winner. He's ex-Arsenal. He's still at Chelsea. I'm not sure Chelsea would do us any favours by selling him to us.
He has a knack of scoring goals, though.
But he does score goals. Look,
proven, isn't he? As you said, Lee, proven in the Premier League.
Listen, he's not a 20-25 goal a season man, but I don't know if Spurs maybe need him to do that job.
The problem that I've always seen from afar, and I've got a few Gooner mates and Chelsea mates and all that sort of stuff, and you know, we have a lot of banter and whatever. But the only problem that I've always had with Giroud is that the managers that he's played under don't ever seem to go, you are my number nine, crack on for the season. Go on, son. There you go. They don't seem... So why is that? He never seems to be the kind of the front-line striker. Do you know what I mean? Whereas actually, when he plays for France and he's winning the World Cup, for example, he actually was. So I don't know. I mean, I think that we're now looking at short-term solutions. And this is the problem that my man to the right of me here, Jason, said when we appointed Mourinho. This is what it's always going to be, short-term solutions. This is why I said it's an interim appointment, because it's all now about short-termism stuff. Mm. You know, previous to Mourinho and over the previous 5 years, nothing really to do with Poch. But under the Poch regime, because people were talking about the board and stuff today, we had a five-year plan. It was set. It was a project. It was the philosophy. It was whatever you want to call it, right? But the reality is, we knew where we were going. Everyone had a stake in the ground. We knew where we were going. This is our why. This is why we are doing this. We are creating. We are trying to go from being a big club to an elite club. That's where we're trying to get to. Now, it seems a little bit like, not just Jose, but with everything happening around us, it's like short-termism. And you know, we just got to get over the line and get a trophy or whatever. And the reality of the situation, if we stumble into the FA Cup final and win it this year, with everything that's going on, with a short-term strike in Giroud, or you know, bring somebody in, you know, to a Band-Aid, if you like, or a plaster, whatever it is, to put on the knee, is that really where we're going? Is that what our club is now for the next 2-3 years?
Well, let me just quickly bring Jason in, because I know Jason, obviously, I don't want to say you totally didn't want a Jose Mourinho appointment. You was never really up for it as much as everyone else. Now that he has had just under 15 games and sort of the settling in period is over and we're sort of seeing him, you know, we've had more time to adjust to him, has your opinion changed at all?
Rick's ducking, look.
He's behind his ear. He's behind his hand.
That was an okay question.
No,
wasn't it?
I wasn't worried about the answer.
it's no secret. I didn't want him anywhere near the football club.
But I was being generous when I said you wasn't that keen on the appointment.
No, I didn't want him anywhere near the football club, and I was worried about the style. But having said that, this mess is not on him.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, and the playing style at the moment with looking up at space most of the game is horrendous. But I understand why he's doing that, because we can't play the ball out from the back. We're a mess doing that. We can't transition it through midfield. We're a mess doing that. And our only really, our strength is up front. So I totally get why he's going from back to front as quickly as possible, because he thinks that's the only area of the pitch we're any good at. What is the point in parking a bus at the moment? We can't do that. So I, in a way, as much as I despise the man, he's come in and he's thought the only way this team can get results is to get it to those front players as quickly as possible. And that's actually how he should approach it, to work with the group that he's got and think, how best can I get results from that group? So I don't blame him for what we're doing. I can't stand it at the moment, but I don't blame him for going about things that way.
All right, well, before we bring Ricky and Leon out, do you agree with Jason? What are you making of it? Tweet us at Lovesport Radio, call us 0208 70 20 558. And just a little 30-minute warning, at 8 o'clock, the Spurs fan show is still going to be here till 8:30, but you have to retune your digital radios to Love Sport London, and you can carry on with the guys from 8 to 8:30 there. But we will be back answering more questions about Mourinho next.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sacks, Lee McQueen and Jason McGovern. We were just talking about, now that Jose has obviously had just under 15 games, the new manager Bant's gone, what are you making? Have you seen any changes? Because
sorry, that's the train trying to get out of the station.
I knew where you was going with that, Lee. It was a very accurate sound, by the way. Let me tell you, Lee is available for bookings and PAs and train noises. When we talk about Jose, obviously people were saying, and we had John Wenham in on the first day after, he's like, it feels so surreal seeing him in that Spurs clothing and the way he was speaking. And obviously, I'm sure you guys have touched upon it in your podcast, but obviously there was the drama on the sidelines in the Saints game.
Yes, yeah.
Have you noticed any change in him, or you just think this is kind of where we're at the minute?
Can I be honest with you? He looks like he's aged 100 years with that defence. I mean, I've got to be honest with you that it was very hard to see him keep up that early persona for good. And I've got to be honest with you, working with the defence we've got, I mean, it's a miracle the bloke's still there. So you must be tearing your hair out seeing the same individual errors made every week. And it's collectively as well as a team. I mean, he must know. The only thing I worry about with Jose is that in his own mind, when he looked at the club from the outside before he took the job, is did he personally overrate the squad? Because now he's in the seat, I just wonder if he realises just the amount of work he's got on his hands to really transform the club. And it's back to my point earlier that the worst thing Spurs ever did was to not reinvest in that 18-month period and keep it the same, and the squad went stale. There was a lack of motivation, a lack of energy, and my man here to the right of me, Lee, who's used to running teams, knows all about in terms of having to re-energise a group, having to get the best out of them. And the only way you do that, I think, is by, you know, inspiring confidence, inspiring motivation, you know, re-energising.
Know where you're going. That's
squad.
The thing. You've got to know where you're going.
I think that's the journey,
whether it's a train or whatever. Mm. The journey is, this is where we are. Come with me. Follow me. Come on. Let's go. Mm. We are going together. That's gone.
I don't think it's all Mourinho's fault. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's his fault. He's been left with a mess from the previous regime. And, you know, it's what we've always said. A lot of the blame here is on the players. A lot of it is on them because the performances have not been good enough. I don't think Jose's telling these players to go out and play slow, turgid. He's not asking to play like that. He really isn't. But
that's
the
where
message,
I'm slightly...
You don't think so,
no,
Lee?
No.
What do you reckon?
That's why I'm a little bit on the fence with that, because this guy has won everything. And he's built teams and so on and so forth, and he's got all this stuff. Like, he must be a really good coach. Like, we think that Jose Mourinho is a really good coach. How is he not getting the best out of some of them players already? Do you understand what I mean?
Well, He was getting a tune out of Delhi. He was getting a tune out of Moura. Toby signed a new contract, so you can look at it and say that already in those first couple of weeks there was an initial a bounce.
Well, can I ask a question then? Because Lee, you mentioned, why isn't he maybe getting the best out of them players? And you said that potentially Jose Mourinho maybe overrated that squad, and now we realise he's got to work with. But then are the fans doing that also? Because you mentioned it, and the fans are going, oh, we've got Jose now, we're seeing it, it's going to turn around, we're competing. And actually, you're going, why isn't he getting out the best? No one can get the best out of him. You're overrating the squad yourself? Maybe.
We used to sing His Magic, You Know, and actually, was he? You know, because in 5 years, Pochettino got a tune out of all of these players, the same players that we brought in. Look, everyone's crambling for new signings, this, that, other. We spent $3 million on Eric Dier, and for 2-3 seasons, he was brilliant. You know, we spent $9 million on Toby Alderweireld, or $11.9 million on Jan Vertonghen, and $9 million on Jan Vertonghen, and $11.9 million on Toby Alderweireld. You know, these are players that we didn't spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds on, and actually now, yeah, they're coming to the, you know, we're seeing some of that because it hasn't been refreshed, but at the time, and that's what I'm saying, like, our strategy was there, it was like to buy younger, to what's our strategy now? It's kind of like, oh, okay, alright, let's go over there, let's go. And what's really worrying me is that everyone else has lost their long-term managers, you know, Arsenal or Manchester United, or, you know,
Chelsea.
In the past at Chelsea, whatever, they've won stuff along the way. Every single one of them, we won nothing. So we've had our you know, our top level hit, and now we're on our way down, and we didn't win anything. Classic Spurs.
But Jace, is it when Lee mentions the players there and the prices, not in defence of Spurs, but will we ever see now those clubs, the stature and size of Spurs and whoever that top six, top four is, signing players for 7-8 million? Because you can't go out and find a top centre half now for 8 million, 12 million. The way the market is gone, the money's gone.
I'm not having it.
Lee,
who's a Turkish player?
Maguire, 80 million. Virgil van Dijk, 70 million. You're not going to get a top
Turkish player plays for Leicester. Sonia, how much was he? And Didi plays central midfield
for
Leicester.
These are few and far between, Lee.
Still find them.
But Liverpool have just signed Eeny, Meeny, Miney, Moe. For how much?
Seven, eight million
quid. So I don't think that these players
yet,
don't. Yeah.
No, don't. I mean, don't get me wrong, but
it's not as simple as that.
No, but I mean,
and we did go out. Sorry, Jace, but we did go out and spend 63 million on Dembele, 60 odd million once it happens with Chelsea, 30 million on things. So, you know, there is a balance there. You know, everyone can have a go at it, but we have spent the money as well.
And we look at. I mean, I watched that semi-final last night, and Tyrone Mings got man of the match. For me, Jack Grealish ran the whole show.
He was brilliant. Yeah,
Jack Grealish was excellent. The times he, with Villa having to sit so deep, he took the ball, ran with it, drew fouls, killed time. I mean, he was exceptional.
But another one, though,
he
offered $3 million
and
for
him. And you think Villa wanted 25 million quid for him when they were in desperate need of money.
Absolutely. They still are. A little bit financial fair play at the minute for them.
We wouldn't pay that. We tried to get him for a bit less than that. And you think
there was a lot less than that, Jason.
Come the end of that transfer window, we then bid 25 million, which was what Villa wanted. Now, people at the time said, would Jack Grealish, is he better than Christian Eriksen? It's not a question of would he have been better than Christian Eriksen's best. Would he have improved what we actually had? Would he have been of more use to us in the last year and a half than Eric Lamella would have been? let's be honest.
Yeah,
so, you know, for 25 million, 25 million isn't to a club that was in the Champions League trying to buy from a Championship club. That's not a lot of money.
No, but in hindsight, there's been some balance to that. In the summer, we signed Lo Celso, which is exactly the same position as where Grealish plays. He's 19 years old, and we spent best part of what might be end up being 35 million.
Lo Celso's 19.
22. So you know, so the point being is that yeah, it's a hindsight point that you're making, Jace. The reality of the situation is that Daniel Levy's trying to do what's right for the club as well as look haggling over 2-3 million quid or whatever is a joke.
You got to bear in mind that was the window we signed nobody.
Yeah, but
25 million in that window.
But at the end of the day, we went out and Pochettino, by all accounts, wanted Chelsea, and we got him.
Mm.
And now we don't play.
Well, you've had another tweet into the studio. This time it is from John. San, I'm listening at John Wenham. He's saying, I'm listening from the subs bench tonight, boys.
Go on, John.
The name of the striker we need is Jimenez from Wolves.
A good player. Yeah, I mean, again, would Wolves sell him to Tottenham? I think they would for a certain amount of money. Will Spurs' ball go there? That's another question. I mean, the thing I would say now is that, listen, if Spurs cannot go and get an alternative decent striker to Harry Kane and Mourinho in charge, we've got absolutely no chance then, because I do believe Mourinho in place. Normally, I say normally, with a new manager or a new head coach in charge, you do want to tend to keep them at least a little bit happy in the first couple of windows.
Why do I feel a loan deal for Andy Carroll coming on?
No chance,
no,
Jason.
Come on.
Well, good
no
news is breaking news on Sky is that Fellaini's going to West Ham.
Yeah,
so that's
that
at
could
least
be one dodge.
That's one
dodge. Do you agree, Jace, that normally with Levy, you know, he'll want to try and keep Mourinho happy for at least the first couple of windows, wouldn't he?
Well, you'd think so. And it's not a case now. Anyway, it's not a case now of Mourinho. He's got to do it because we are desperately, desperately short now. We're nowhere near where we want to be as a club. We're in massive danger of missing out on the top four. We're not going to win a trophy that people thought we were going to win. He gave his Christmas speech and said top four and a trophy. And he knows there is no chance of that happening unless he goes and spends some serious money.
But it's also not just on a striker. I think this is also another thing. You know, we look at our squad.
Right back in central midfield.
Right back,
I think
central midfield.
I think you're all spot on.
Central defence. I mean, we did a joke. You know, you say it wasn't a joke, but you said, I asked you a couple of weeks ago on a transfer show, I asked you, how many players do we need? And your answer was?
I said 17.
17.
And your answer still is?
23.
That's funny, because that's only 5,000 off the number of tweets Ricky has sent about transfers in this
sure.
9 days of January. Well, we are talking about what players Spurs do need in the next part and looking towards that game with Liverpool.
Love sports.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Last Word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Liam McQueen and Jason McGovern. We are still talking about transfers. What players do Spurs require? We still want you to get in touch. But Lee, I know you want to mention something on transfers
now.
Well,
yeah, I mean, we're playing them at the weekend and, you know, there's been a lot of said about Liverpool and how far they've gone on. You know, they're European champions. They're walking the league this year. They're world champions as well. I mean, absolutely fantastic what they've been doing. And although, we were in a battle against them last year, obviously, and we didn't like it. The fact is, you've got to, you know, put your hands up and just respect what Klopp and Liverpool have done. But, you know, there's a good tweet actually out there at the moment by My Football Facts, which is at My Football Facts. And they talk about, you know, what Mauricio Pochettino's average net spend per season was versus Jurgen Klopp's. And it's staggering. I mean, incoming transfers, 364 million for Tottenham, a net spend of 47 million over six seasons. That's 8 million a year net spend. Liverpool spent 400 million, so granted a little bit more, but in terms of net spend, 89 million, that's only 13 million rounded up per season under Klopp. And look at how far we have fallen off a cliff since June the 1st, and look how far they have gone. Not only have they ended up being...
That Coutinho sale massively helped them, though, 100
but
plus.
That's
changed that dynamic.
100%. But if we'd have sold Christian Eriksen when Jamie Brown, our very own Jamie, said sell him for 400 million and sell Toby, everyone would have been up in arms. Now we're sitting here in a situation admiring Liverpool. 147 million for Coutinho, ridiculous, or whatever it was, ridiculous money, but that fueled a Virgil van Dijk.
It made the making of him.
It fueled their goalkeeper.
And the other thing you would say is Liverpool have managed, which we have failed to do, is get rid of their deadwood.
Loads of them. Look at the changes.
So listen to this. Every club struggles to get rid of their deadwood.
You say that. Liverpool side, Klopp's first game, because his first game was against Tottenham.
Yep.
Mignolet, Klein, Skirtle, Sacco, Marino, Lever, Emre Can, Milner, Lallana, Coutinho, Origi. So much of that rubbish, like Skirtle, Sacco, Marino, they've got rid of.
Yeah.
We still have Wanyama. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, when you list it off like that, it's unbelievable.
Of the club.
There's nine first team starters. When we smashed Liverpool at Wembley 4-1, and Kane took Lovren to the cleaners and all that sort of stuff, nine of them starters that day don't even play for the club anymore. Most of ours do.
The one person I'll give us credit for that we did get rid of Deadwood, as much as it hurt us, was Moussa Dembélé. We realised he was finished. Mm. We had an offer. We thought, that's the best offer we've got. We took it. That is what we should have done to so much of that Deadwood.
Yeah, when you mention it like that, who is to blame for that? Was that Maurizio? Was that the ball? They didn't get rid of their Deadwood. Look how Liverpool used that money to kick on to better things. Well, we wanted you to call in, you have. And of course, on our return, it had to be Adrian's corner. Adrian, how are you?
Fine. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, Adrian.
Yeah, don't forget that Pochettino got rid of about 36 players during his time and probably would have got rid of a lot more if he'd stayed, obviously. You know, I mean, and regards to bringing people in Europe, I read today there's 29 players from European clubs that are at the end of their contracts or clubs want to let go, you know. So there's chances of bringing experienced players in on loan. They're not, so they might not be ones for the future, but it's a question of how much money is there. And I recall going back to Poch again. First in a press conference, they said we weren't going to buy anybody in the transfer window. Then they said, yes, there is money available in the transfer window. So I think there's rumours about 60 million there, but we need to spend more than that. I mean, because we have to pay the 27 off on Lo Celso, don't we? Because you could sell him the next day for 40. You know what I mean? So, yep. That just makes sense. And we really need to get... I think defensive midfield is more important than anything. If you're not prepared to drop Dyer and play, Skip alongside Winks, then I think we need to look at getting in a defensive midfielder, because we need to hold the ball better in midfield. And it's not just winning the ball and having a defensive midfielder and being good defensively. And then you'll take pressure off the back four. Because at the moment, because it's not clicking in midfield, the back four is under intense pressure most of the time. And Onora is just a complete liability. The Bayern Semedo, well, he's Portuguese. So this one might have legs to run. He would be a good acquisition. I've seen him play. I'm sure you all have as well. But when you look at, say, PSG, you've got Thomas Meunier, and he's 29, experienced, on as a right-back. Left-back, Levin Kozawa, haven't you? At Ajax, you've got the lung-busting left-back, Tagliafico. On the right-hand side, the young kid looks an exciting prospect, won their Player of the Year, Gregory van der Wiel. Obviously, that Younes Atal, I mean, he's got cruciate from Nice. He's got ligament dangerous now. But I don't think we're going to get them from the Premier League. I'd be surprised unless they're really young kids, because the teams in the Premier League are not going to part with their players at this time of year. And it's hard to get many deals across in the short period, which is a transfer window. And we need to ship a few out, like you say. You know, Eriksen needs to go, doesn't he? And so 100%. Does Wanyama. Them two definitely need to be given a shift. And so does Aurier,
really. Well, to sign any of the overseas players, you've got to sell some, because there's only so many. You can only have 17 in the squad. Mm. So you've got to create that gaps. And, you know, people talk about Eric Dyer, is he the next player? It's time we sign a replacement for Eric Dyer. I'm thinking, we haven't even replaced Wanyama yet. Mm. What are we talking about replacing Eric Dyer for? Wanyama's still there.
Yeah, maybe that's the biggest aim for Spurs this window, not just the incomings, getting rid of that Deadwood, trimming that fat a little bit. Adrian, always good to kick off the first show of Adrian's Corner. But we've had another call into the studio now. That's what we'd like to see. This time from Josh from Hertfordshire. Josh, I know you want to talk about the current situation Spurs find themselves in at the minute.
I mean, it's looking pretty bleak at the moment. You know, like Adrian said, I think we'd all be kidding ourselves if we went out and got a really good striker tomorrow and sorted all our problems as well. It's so much more than that. You know, looking at that team, you know, we need new players in defence, midfield and attack. And, you know, I don't remember a situation in recent times where we've needed players this badly. You know, it's not even the fact we need better players. We need players full stop. We don't have enough players at the moment. The fact that we could be going out against Liverpool, the best team in the world at the moment, we've not lost a game, and I think like 40-odd games to have Wanyama and Dyer in midfield. I mean, they wouldn't get into a top 10 side at the moment, and that's what's really worrying. And it's also worrying, you know, I wonder if Jose knew about how much money he'd be given in January and in the future. But, you know, surely he can't be approving of what's happening at the moment. And I don't know, you know, if Daniel Levy doesn't invest in this situation, I don't know what's going to make him, because, you know, we are desperate at the moment. Yep. And it is serious times.
I quite agree. It's like I say, it's the perfect time for those injuries, because if he doesn't do it now, there's no more excuses for him to hide behind. He's changed the manager. He's got the training facilities done. The stadium's done. And he called the stadium the game changer. That was his term for it. So now there is nothing to excuse. The only person that will be the target of blame from this is him.
Can I ask you, Jace, what do you think would be a satisfied window for Tottenham? If I say to you now at the end of it, what would be a satisfactory winner for Tottenham now?
Four players.
What, in this window, Jace?
Don't get me wrong, I don't think we'll do that.
Yeah, no.
But if you said to me, what's a satisfactory window, I would say four genuine first-team players.
So hard to transfer, though. That's why it's so hard.
No, I know what you're saying.
You wasn't asking
me what the reality is.
You were saying, I know.
What is a satisfactory window?
But you don't want Spurs to make panic buyers in this window.
It's so difficult. We need to sign a genuine first starting right-back, a genuine first starter CDM.
It's gutting, isn't it, that Max
Aaron's striker.
That Max Aaron's interview today, and find out he was on trial at Tottenham.
Amazing, isn't it? Again, that's hindsight, isn't it, for that side? But...
Yeah.
Go on, Josh.
Even if we, brought in a couple of loan players, they don't even have to be proper signings. We just need to get the end of the season without finishing in an embarrassing place. It's so worrying where we are at the moment, and I'm really concerned. I've read so many things over the past couple of days. This was meant to be our big season, Champions League final last year, brand new flashy stadium. We broke our transfer record with Ndombele, brought you some brilliant players. And it just feels like, it felt like such a long time ago, fantasising about getting back to a Champions League final and finishing top four. Because that seems to be done. We need a complete board overhaul. And I think it's going to happen? No, but like you said before, we need four or five really world-class players to even think about competing again.
And you're right, Josh. I mean, if we end up bringing loan players in, but I think we're Tottenham, a top four club for the past 4 or 5 years, just been to a Champions League final, and we're talking about having to borrow players to get us through. I mean, we should not be having to sign loan players, but we're in a position where we'll be grateful to sign a loan player.
I just don't understand where you sack Pochettino for the amount of money we did. You then hire Mourinho for the second highest wages in the country, and then you say you've got no money.
They have got money. Of course they've got money.
We need to improve the squad.
Well, fine.
We need to improve the squad. There's no excuses this window at all, and the summer.
Need to improve the squad. Ricky mentioned it. I think he's right. Playing catch-up, Josh. We really appreciate you calling. Hope to hear from you again, Josh, from Hertfordshire there. Obviously, playing catch-up, the Spurs boys at the minute. Obviously, very, very quickly, we have reached the halfway point of the season. What are we really expecting now? Just very quickly, what can we expect for the next 4 months?
A struggle, and what we're seeing now is, I think, was going to continue. I mean, listen, I was optimistic when Jose came in and I said Spurs could achieve a top four finish. I think, listen, as people probably know me, maybe I really over exaggerated that to some degree. Yes, we could still achieve top four. Jason's shot, no, of course he is Mr. Realistic over there. Of course, there's still time to catch the points up. I just worry now of Harry's injury and Moussa's injury. I worry that the season might just get away from us, but I think a lot will come down to what we do, especially in this window in the summer. I want to be in a position next season where I can sit here in the start of August and say Spurs are in a position where they can challenge for a Premier League and challenge for the Champions League. I want to be in that position to say that. This season was always going to be difficult. You sack the manager mid-season, it's always going to be tricky.
Always going to be tricky. You agree with that, Lee, very quickly?
I think it's going to be tricky, but I think that, and it is a crazy train and all of the things that have gone under the bridge already, but the point being is we're 6 points off of fourth, and I think we can get fourth. We can get a top four. I still think that. It's the hope that kills you, remember? But also...
And it's the hope that keeps you.
It does, but we're in the cup still, and we're also in the Champions League. Like, strange things have happened. If you look back on this situation a year ago, or 18 months ago, start last season, said we're going to be in the Champions League final, every single caller, every single listener would have thought I was mad. But we got to a Champions League final. But maybe we fluked it, maybe we didn't. But the reality is we were there. So why not?
Why not, Jace? One word answer. Can Spurs get top four this season?
No.
Oh, I wanted a yes. We wanted to end on a high. Well, I say end. There's still half an hour to come of the Spurs Fan Show.
We've all got one. And we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport London. I tell you what, it's kicking off here. It's absolutely
beautiful.
Kicking off with
moves.
That music.
We're back in the new year, baby.
I tell you what a great start to my first ever Spurs show. Yes. We are of course on Love Sport London now.
Our first signing.
Here we go. The new January
Here
transfer.
We go.
Tell you what, can't stand Jose Mourinho, so it'd be terrible for me to be straight into it.
Oh no.
High five. Kind of early doors.
Comments like Jason is just high five Matt. After Mourinho coming. Oh dear.
Welcome everybody. If you've just joined us on Love Sport London, if you've switched over from Love Sport National, I'm not Charlie Hawkins. No, I am Matt Beadle with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. It is, of course, our fan shows on a what day are we on, chaps? Thursday.
Thursday isn't it? It's gone quick, isn't it, Matt? It's gone quick already.
You did lose track. Of course, the guys from The Last Word on Spurs still with me, Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen, and Jason McGovern. Now, gents, we are going to. I've got the pleasure of speaking about Liverpool.
Brilliant.
With you.
Can't wait.
Because this is
one word for it.
That hasn't lost away from home, what, since like the beginning of last time. Century, whenever yeah. it was. I mean, we've lost track, haven't we? It's been a long, long time coming, but a big game, the Saturday evening kickoff.
What's interesting about that, Matt, as well, as we were just saying before the break there, you know, we were in a Champions League final against this very team just only 6 months ago. Mm. And our club's form has fallen off a cliff, and Liverpool have gone from strength to strength. And I don't know how much. Like, I'm probably one of the most optimistic people around, you know, when it comes to Tottenham for sure. But I can't see anything at the weekend other than batting down the hatches and try and get some buses from somewhere, Jose, because we're going to need them.
Do you really think so? Is this not one of those games that is primed for Jose Mourinho of old?
I've got to be honest, Matt. You know, I'm
you got a feeling, Rick.
In a perverse, weird way. Don't ask me why. Jason's already not having it.
You've been reading too much of that Ghana soccer net, mate. I tell you.
What, the Andre Ayew show?
Andre Ayew, yep.
We could do him right now, the way we've got low forwards. Listen, I think stranger things have happened in football. Stranger things have happened, but I mean, Liverpool do look a formidable force. Really, really good team. I mean, they're everything that we want to be, if I'm being honest with you, at the moment, in terms of the way the style of football, the way that connections with the supporters we've lost at to some degree, I think, definitely over this last month or two. I think with the transfer window being open, there's already that kind of aggression being shown towards the board of, you know, we want to see signings. And I think Jason made the point that with the areas in which we are currently weak in, it's going to really expose our squad to some degree against Liverpool, you feel. Because attacking-wise, Harry Kane not having him there, Mourinho has said already how pivotal he is to the way he wants to play with Spurs. It will be interesting to see how he uses him inside. He's going to use as a false nine. Lucas Moura, a player that is so inconsistent. I mean, I love Lucas Moura. We saw, obviously, the brace against Man United. We've seen the hat-trick at Ajax. We've seen him score important goals. Barcelona, Man City. He scored against Liverpool. But he has that part of him to just go missing. So I don't know what Tottenham team we're going to see turn up, and I don't know how Jose is going to set up for this game, because in under normal circumstances some may say, oh, you park a bus. You can't park a bus for this Tottenham defence. There is no bus to park. So I don't know what quite we're going to see at the weekend in terms of a tactical approach from Jose.
I think we're going to see goals.
I think it's absolutely guaranteed. Yeah,
I'm going to back this up.
At both ends.
Because
in different halves.
This is actually the second highest scoring Premier League game of all time. Now, I know football didn't begin in 1992, but that's when people seem to look at stats, don't they?
Sure.
So 158 goals in the 55 games that you guys have played with each other so far. You're actually in the top three, Spurs, twice for top scoring Premier League games of all time. The other one's with Arsenal. That's 156 goals in 55 games. The top of the pile is Arsenal-Liverpool. Only 159, so just one more goal. So Liverpool-Spurs has a history of goals.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, there'll be plenty on Saturday, don't worry.
I'm not sure we'll score too many, but, you know, again, maybe something that you said right at the beginning, Matt, about, you know, is this not primed? Like Ricky said, sometimes strange things have happened, but I just can't see it. You know, we've done the analysis before the Champions League final. Everybody woke up on June the 1st, you know, hoping rather than expecting. And I think in the red half of the stadium, everyone was expecting rather than hoping. And I think, you know, confidence has got a massive, massive part to play in elite level sport, as we all know. And they're coming to the new White Hart Lane or Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, magnificent as it is, and just going to think they're going to blow us away, aren't they, Jace?
I think they do, and I think we're all probably expecting them to, but as you say, weird things happen. For me, it's I go back to when they came in AVB's last game, and it's got that same feeling of them. We just got stuffed by City, hadn't we?
Paulinho got sent off the knee for a kick.
Rubbish run.
Yeah.
Paulinho got sent off, and we ended up losing it 5-0 and getting absolutely. I think we had Zeki Fry. I know Cole Norton playing that day, and he got taken to the cleaners, didn't he? And I feel it's the same type of feeling as that day. And that day, that mauling by Liverpool triggered the change. It got AVB the sack. Whether it was the right thing, wrong thing to do, Daniel Levy
definitely
acted.
The right thing.
This time, there's no sacking he can do. He can't possibly sack the man he's only given the job 2 months ago to. So I hope if we do get the mauling we expect, that it does trigger action. But the only action then is to, it's down to you, Daniel, to sort this out now. There's nobody else to hide behind.
Well, it's since the 6th of May, I think it is, 2018. They've only lost one on their travels. To be fair, I think they've only lost one full stop since the 6th of May. That was against City, wasn't it, last season?
Ridiculous.
So we know they're so good. And the stats you gave me beforehand, fellas, I've got to say, so if they win this game, that equates to an entire season. 38 games it'll be their 38th game without defeat. So if they beat Spurs on Saturday, that's 38 games unbeaten.
See, it's stats like that kind of, in a way, just...
Or draw.
Or draw, of course,
or
draw. Yeah, or draw.
See, it's stats like that in a way made me think, God, there's... I don't know, that's a weird feeling. I mean, it would be unbelievable when you think about where Spurs are at the moment in terms of their injury crisis to be able to get a result against the Liverpool team. But don't get me wrong, listen, the thing is that it's a game like this that could really reinvigorate Spurs' this season because of the amount of injuries we've got. If Spurs somehow did get a win, I think you don't believe that... Okay, Jason, if they did win, do you not think it would give the squad a massive lot of confidence?
Yeah, it'd give the confidence, but the flaws would still be in it.
Yeah, the flaws would be there, but
the flaws will be exposed sooner or later again.
But I think that would give the squad some reinvigoration it needs, because under Jose, we saw when he came in, there was that initial period where we was getting a few results. And I feel like we're already kind of... We're back in this rut where it was with Pochettino to some degree, where, as you said, we'll win one game, then we'll lose one game. We'll win one, we'll lose one. I feel like at the moment, unless we have something that massively changes into the squad, it could go the same.
But we thought winning at Wolves would give the confidence. We won it in the last minute at Wolves, a place that nobody was going to, and winning.
Yep.
Let's be fair, winning at Wolves is an impressive result at the moment.
Yeah, of course.
City lost as well.
We follow that up with a horrendous display with Chelsea and then a mess against Norwich and Southampton and Middlesbrough.
Mm.
So we're due a win then?
So we're due a win, but it's not going to make a difference.
Vis-a-vis.
I think that Liverpool are miles ahead of us in the grand scheme of where everyone wants to be, but it's a game of football. Anything can happen. All the cliches you want to say, the reality is it is. It's true. Something could happen. I personally don't think, typically I'll be saying on it, we can do it. I don't think we will on the weekend. It's under the lights. There'll be a good atmosphere there, hopefully. I mean, they're on a different planet, literally on a different planet. Yeah. The way they're playing football, it's on a different planet. I think they've, now Leicester have dropped off a little bit, I think they've got the best defensive record in the Premier League, scored more goals other than City, I think, in the Premier League. They're European champions, they're world champions, they're walking the league. I mean, they're 20 points. If they win their game in hand, they're 20 points in front of Man City. I mean,
but can I throw it back? Do you remember that game where we beat them 2-1 when Pavlyuchenko scored in the last minute? Do you remember that game? Darren Bent equalised, Pavlyuchenko scored in the last minute. That's when Harry came in and we was in a relegation battle. I think Spurs were actually bottom at that time.
I remember.
So, we have been in worse positions where we were playing against a Liverpool side that were actually unbeaten then, going for the league. I think they finished fourth or fifth under Benitez at the time, but strange things have happened in football. I'm not sitting here predicting we're gonna win 4-0. I'm not saying that at all, but anything can happen in football. It's 11 versus 11. But they do look a very, very good side, Liverpool. They do look a great side. They're top of the league for a reason. They're top of the league because they've got a wonderful team, a wonderful manager, play attractive football, got a great connection with the fan base. I mean, I say it's everything that you would want your team to be at the moment, and that's down to Jurgen Klopp and the winning mentality he's instilled in that squad. And that's the one thing that, even under Pochettino, God bless him, I loved him, but the way Klopp has made every single one of those players believe in themselves, just how good they are. And even it translates down to the younger group. You saw against Everton the other week. That's their youngsters. And they're playing like men out there, some of them. And that's down to the philosophy and the belief he gives to each and every one of those boys. And I just hope in time we're going to have that at Tottenham again.
I think Joe's made a good point earlier before the news break around Liverpool and, you know, Klopp's attention to getting rid of the dead wood. You know, you think about the amount of changes that's happened at Liverpool since we beat them 4-1, and we've virtually, Matt, still got the same squad. You know, and they've completely changed. Like, it's, I think there's maybe one, maybe two players that are still in their first 11, if not just in their squad, but everyone else has been shipped out or moved along or whatever, and it's the way that they've gone about their business. I think the other thing I would say from a positive perspective from Spurs is that that clear out, if you like, or that change in Liverpool started when they missed out on the title with the Gerrard slip under Brendan Rodgers, and it's taken that long for them to get back to this situation. So maybe this is our cult calling, that we got to the Champions League final, we've now had to reset, and this painful rebuild, well, let's be honest, everybody and listeners, it is painful, as we can see, and it's not going to be a painful rebuild for 10, 15 minutes, is it? It's a painful rebuild, maybe for two seasons. We don't know that, but what we have got, best stadium in the world, best training facilities in the world, we've got some world-class players, although one of us has been injured today, we've got a world-class manager. So actually, you know, let's not panic too much, lads and listeners. Maybe it's just a case of holding fire and rebuilding that way. However, what I would echo what Jason said earlier is, we've got to spend some money. Daniel Levy and the board, they have to spend some money in January, because otherwise we're going to end up 8th or 9th, let alone trying to go for the top 4.
Reasons to be positive, chaps. I'm liking this show already. What a great start. This is the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport London. Back in a sec.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
The Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport London. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from Last Word on Spurs, Ricky Saxley McQueen and Jason McGovern. We're here for another 13 minutes or so, and we are just previewing the big game against Liverpool coming up on Saturday, 5:30 p.m. kickoff. Now, gents, I was just speaking during the ads then about the fact that you narrowly lost at Anfield earlier on in the season. And when you look at 45-minute spells for Spurs over the course of this season thus far, that, Ricky, would probably be one of the best of them.
Yeah, it would. Unfortunately, football's not played, though, in 45 minutes. That's the real crying shame. And the thing with Mourinho is normally, as a manager, he's known for having a tactical plan. And especially against the big teams and against the big managers. And I think for him, he will not want a humiliation, especially with Klopp. So I would like to think he's going to set up in a way that's, I think it will be pragmatic, but in a way that I think will have to benefit the likes of Heung-min Song, who I reckon play as a false nine. And then he'll use those attacking players around that with Dele Alli and Lucas Moura. The thing that he can't rely on at the moment is our defence. So I don't see how he could ever park a bus, because they're simply not good enough. So
he's got to set in such an interactive with everybody. He's got to set up in a way like we did last year against Dortmund away, where, you know, we got battered for the whole first half, to be fair, but for a good 35, 40 minutes we got battered, but we were strong in defence.
I don't think this squad could handle that, Lee.
Well, no, but that's what we haven't set up like that for us to have a look. You know, we talk about parking buses and so on and so forth. Since Jose's came here, 100% he is not part of the bus. There's no, like,
but
maybe
he can't,
no bus.
Can he?
But he hasn't tried. That's the point I'm making, is if he parked the bus on Saturday and he got a 0-0 or a 1-1 or we nicked a goal on a break or whatever, all of the Spurs fans will be happy, because we haven't been humiliated and we haven't lost to the champions or champions elect. But we haven't tried to do that, because it's almost like he's so afraid to
do it. He doesn't
because
trust,
all of the fans are got to be on his back, he ain't got the players to do
it. No, I just don't think he doesn't trust this back line enough to be able to do that job. Do you agree?
Yeah. The Sky regurgitated the clip of him talking about how to stop Liverpool early in the season, and everything he says is sit deep, low blocks and things like that. But I fear he knows we can't possibly do that.
No.
Because inviting Liverpool to come at us, we're just not good enough to do that. No. And I think he thinks that only our best chance is keep the ball far away from our goal and try and score what we can. But I think it's incredibly tough.
This is the argument. I think when we say he hasn't tried to park the bus, the reason why he hasn't tried it is because he knows it's just doomed for failure. He hasn't got the squad there to be able to do that. I mean, he spoke, I think, a couple of weeks ago about saying that he knows what he needs to do, but he's worried that it might lose our attacking sense. But I think now he's already convinced himself that even if you try to do that, Lee, I don't think he's got the players there to do it. I don't think he has.
He went. Was it, I can't remember. If it was last season or season before when Manchester United. Well, he was a manager at Manchester United, of course, and he went to Liverpool and he parked the bus. And that's when he first started getting a load of park the bus criticism. I think it was a 0-0 draw.
There were a couple of those red money, like they picked them up on Sky, and there were like some nil-nil, absolute dross.
Total dross and all that sort of stuff. I think most of us Spurs fans would take a dross 0-0 and just move on from that with a point. But look, you've got to try something. You can't go gung ho. You can't start defending on the halfway line with the likes of Mane running in behind you and Salah running in behind you. No chance. So that's not going to happen. I think what you need to be able to do, and nothing's changed since the Champions League final, is stop their fullbacks. Their fullbacks are absolutely critical in the way Liverpool play, and I think there's a huge amount of emphasis on Firmino as well because of the way that he conducts play and is almost the orchestrator in how they play on that side of things. So setting up, I want to see some of that tactical now. So that tactical now, as you talked about, Rick.
Yep.
I want to see some of that. You can pay 15 million, Jose. Let's see some of it this weekend and see what you could do. Don't get me wrong, I think we're going to get ripped a new one, to be honest, but what I want to be able to see, I'm not saying I want to be defensive. I think Jason said it a couple of shows ago, the best way for this Tottenham team to play is attack, and I said it on the last pod, we've got to go out of high energy and try and press and go after them. And we've got high energy in Lucas Moura, we've got high energy in Son, in Dele Alli, in Lo Celso. These players are young and they're hungry and they're ready to go, so have a go at them. But we can't be playing a high line either. So, look, I'm not the manager. I didn't pay 15 million. So, thank goodness that I'm not managing us. But he's got to come up with some sort of solution. If we're just all sitting here, and if Joe, it don't matter about us sitting here, but if Jose's sitting here thinking there's no way I can beat Liverpool, then there's no hope, is there?
No, listen, of course we'll have a plan. It's whether that plan's good enough to work it for the game.
But did we have a plan against Southampton? That's what I'm asking. Did we have a plan against Norwich? That's what I'm kind of asking. I'm asking, and I raised this question last time, what are we doing on the training ground to get better? You know, Toby's, lots of us have been clamouring for him to sign a new contract. I was one of them. I wanted him to sign. I thought he was a contract rebel. He's now not one because he's signed a new contract. But how has he been better since Jose's been there? How's he been? Do you see what I mean? I don't think he's got any better, is he, Jace?
I don't think so, but I don't think... Pochettino said after, what was it, the Olympiacos game, the players went out, didn't follow my plan. And that's, I think it's still happening. I don't think it matters what he tells them to do. They just don't do it.
It's just crazy.
They're just incapable of following any basic plan now.
He has got big game pedigree when it comes to playing against Liverpool, though. I mean, you mentioned Lucas Moura scores in big games. You said that earlier, Ricky. I know his stats potentially don't match up in terms of victories over Jurgen Klopp. It's 2 in 10 that Mourinho has won when he's been head-to-head
blimey,
with Jurgen Klopp.
You meant to be encouraging.
Well, yeah. Both positive and negative. No, we're going to be balanced,
sure,
didn't we?
Sure.
There we go.
I think, when you say he's matched up well against Liverpool, he's taken Chelsea teams to Liverpool, but those Chelsea teams are winning titles.
And they can defend.
And they could defend with the likes of John Terry's and Carvalho's and players like that.
That's right.
This Tottenham team is not a Chelsea title winning team, is it? And we're not even he's not even taking a peak Tottenham team. He's taking a team of Tottenham at the moment that's...
very low on confidence.
Incredibly low on confidence. Mm. And at the moment, let's be honest, he's rock bottom for where we've been in the past 5 or 6 years.
So I think... I asked you this question, Ricky, over Christmas when we were on one of the Christmas shows. Yep. The very low on confidence theme. Because, like you said, this is a manager bounce that occurred under Jose Mourinho. You spoke about the Wolves victory. And I looked at that Wolves victory and thought, crikey, all right. Yeah, yep. This is actually, they've turned a corner.
I thought that would do it. I thought that kind of would trigger it. And we expected a real follow. And you thought, Chelsea, great game to have next.
Yep.
Because that would have put us in the top four. That real confidence will run through. And it... what followed that week was awful.
So then what happened? How has the confidence shift gone the other way?
I don't know. I mean, if I would have been I would have been amazed if you said to me we would have taken only 4 points over the Christmas period out of 4 games. You look at the games we had, Norwich, Southampton, Brighton. I just wouldn't have believed you. And, it's evident, isn't it, that it's not always the manager's fault. As we already knew, it wasn't a lot of it being Pochettino or Mourinho. It's a lot of it being the players. And this is why we've said on this show, and we've said it numerous times, there has to be a refresh and a reinvigoration in the squad. That's the only way Spurs are going to get better, and the only way the club's going to improve. It's not going to just work by changing the manager. And I think, again, we'll see on Saturday just the gulf between the two sides.
OK, well, let's move on from Saturday. I think we've done it to death, the Liverpool game. Of course, it's Middlesbrough thereafter
the replay,
in FA Cup replay. at home, you'd think probably a better chance than up at Riverside. This is a Middlesbrough side, by the way, in very good form in the Championship. They came into your game three on the bounce.
They played really well, and they were very well deserving of that replay, I must add. They played very well that game. They deserved the replay.
So, is this one? We speak about the FA Cup as well in the FA Cup third round and the magic, and that's all we've talked about on Love Sport for the past 7 days or so. Is this a competition that you'd happily go, do you know what, we'll sacrifice the FA Cup to get top four? Or is the whole silverware notion here for Spurs meaning the FA Cup is actually very important this season?
Well, I think one of the reasons you bring him in is because of silverware. You know, the big criticism of Pochettino was top four club, no silverware. So you bring in a serial trophy winner with the idea of what? Just concentrating on being in the top four. That's exactly what we've had for 5 years. So I think it is a big thing. And I think we're a long way from being a top four side now. So for me, I think the trophy is more important this year. But that side, as it stands at today, isn't capable of winning a trophy.
So if we gave you an ultimatum right now then, top four or the FA Cup, what would you be going for?
I'd always want top four because I think for the long-term future of the club, we need to be a Champions League club to be as best a club as we can. But as I said, I don't think we'll be anywhere near a top four club this season. So I would take a cup now.
Yeah, it makes it easier for me because I just don't think the top four at the moment is achievable. I would say the FA Cup.
Yeah. But that top four argument is always caveated with that you think being a top four club will lead to multiple trophies.
Of course,
it's not just to be in the top four.
Exactly.
Playing it is to be a stronger club and
to
bring
attract
in
the best players.
To attract the best players so that you
don't see
the big prizes long term. It's not just top four.
But we was told that this stadium would be a game changer. We was told this stadium would attract the top players. We was told this stadium would bring the trophies.
It's definitely changed the game, that's for sure.
But for sure. I mean, we've only had, in terms of it being a game changer, so what? You've had the summer.
Yeah.
There's only been one transfer window
been,
in that, right?
It has been, yeah, of course. I mean, listen, we are fans, I suppose.
And we signed three supposedly brilliant players, by the way. We smashed our transfer record in the summer, by the way. Just throwing that back out there. And by the way, in the top four versus FA Cup situation, like, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be in the top four. You have to be in the Champions League to attract all the best players and, you know, to get all the money and to keep the Harry Kanes and the Dele Allies. But if we're not going to get in the top four because we're going to go after the FA Cup, I'd rather finish eighth. Now, I know that I don't want to sound defeatist, but I'd rather have a season like Chelsea did out of Europe.
I know what you mean.
Like Leicester did. When Leicester beat us in the Champions Championship, in the Premier League title running, they had no European football. When the season after, when Chelsea done us by 7 points, they also had no European football. And, you know, is that going to, if we're not going to be in the Champions League, what about a break from Europe just for one season? So we go Saturday, 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 maybe an FA Cup, Saturday, Saturday, and just play best part of what, you know, 45 games rather than 65. Because we haven't got the squad to play 65 games and challenge on all fronts. So why not give it a go?
I completely agree with you. Sometimes it's actually nice to breathe as well. And you know when you finish runners-up, or you finish in, you're saying that you prefer to just not do it if you finish, you'd rather finish 8th than 5th. Because I always look at results. You know how a results law of averages, they eventually even themselves out. You think, do you know what? Because we finished outside of it, I'd have taken a defeat to Liverpool or a defeat to United or Arsenal this season in order to beat them next season and then actually finish in the top four. Because it seems worthless.
I want to play 365 games a season. I love playing. And I want to be playing European games. But I know
but
where
you know what I mean?
From.
It's like if this is a transition season where, like, we're actually saying to get better, Liverpool, we mentioned it earlier, 2013 with the Brendan Rodgers, and it's taken this long for them to rebuild. Leicester City, same sort of thing. It's taken 3 years, nearly four seasons now to rebuild since they won the title. You know, if it's going to take us a season or whatever to rebuild it, surely it'd be just focus on the domestic just to get ourselves back into where we need to be. But equally, football doesn't work like that, does it? You can't pick and choose. We're all competitive. We obviously want to win. You're not going to go throw a game, are you? So if you're going to win it, you're going to win it. And then all of a sudden, you do finish fifth and it's Europa League again. And my word, I tell you what, we've had four seasons. This is the other thing, and you put some perspective on this earlier, Matt. Just put some perspective around us Spurs fans is, you know, we've had it four seasons on the trot, but that's it. We've only had it four seasons on the trot. It's only, like, before
that.
Only,
but it's still a lot of time.
We only had it once. Rick, like Matt said earlier, the Premier League, football didn't start in 1992 and football didn't start when Spurs started qualifying for the Champions League. We've had a lot more pain than we've in the years I've supported Tottenham than what we're currently going through
now. We should
be going
to get better, though, shouldn't we? We've always been going to get better.
Of course we are, but at the end of the day, we're going for a rebuild like Liverpool have. Liverpool finished outside the top four how many times? Have we got that stat? Now they're on top of the world, but are they on top of the world now because they finished outside the top four so many times? Yeah.
My only worry is, I agree, but only in the period when these clubs have their low cycle, my only worry is they still win trophies.
That earlier on the show. That is my worry as well.
We haven't won anything in that period.
We didn't win anything. No. And we still had a low period. Now we're going for a bad one.
Hopefully the high times are still to come.
There we go. Hopefully the high times are still to come. On here, Love Sport London and Love Sport National. Gents, it's been nothing but a pleasure. Before we go, very quick score predictions. Saturday and the FA Cup replay. Ricky. Oh
God. 1-1 Saturday. 3-1 to Spurs against Borough.
Lovely stuff, Lee.
I think we win against Borough 2-1 and we lose 3-0 against Liverpool.
Not so much lovely
Sorry,
stuff.
Sorry, but it's true.
0-3 Liverpool, 1-0 Borough.
Oof. Double whammy.
1-0 Spurs to beat Borough.
Talk to me. Come on, you Spurs.
This has been the Spurs fan show. On Love Sport London. We'll be back at 8 p.m. next Thursday, but as per usual, on Love Sport National next Thursday at 7.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.